Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Here on the edge with April Mahoney Brains. Look at that. It is the place where the conversation is what? Pointed. The guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. And today we've got Elizabeth Protensky here from Australia. Brains, I know she don't want me to ask her this, but I'm gonna ask her anywhere. Anyway, what is in the world of hairstyling and hair fashion? She's great at her craft, but she has a yearning and a desire to work with people on an energetic level. She's studying neuro-linguistic programming and hypnotherapy. She wants to work with the overlooked and underserved in a special capacity. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that. Why is this desire? Is it something that she's called to do, something she's driven to do, or something that she has a responsibility to do? So without further ado, we will bring her on to the edge. Our guest today, Elizabeth Protensky. How are you, beautiful?
Hello, April. I'm so excited to be here and share my journey with the world and with you.
Absolutely. So we're right here on the edge. So we found each other on social media, and I absolutely love that because that gives me an opportunity to kind of look at your history, look at some of the things in your news feed, get a feel for your texture and for your vibe. Tell my brains a little bit more about you.
Well, as you mentioned about hairs, and and that's my past, and I just kind of, 3 years ago, went on this journey. And how my journey started, it was a calling. It was my calling that I needed to give. I had more to give and I had more to get, and I did not know at the time what this journey was, what the calling was, but there were some voices in my head telling me to do more. At the time, I felt I was kind of emotionally disjointed and I was falling apart. Even that I had, my life looked vivid and bright, but deep down, emotionally, I was falling apart. And one day, my daughter, she kind of, teenager, you know, 12 years of age.
Oh yeah, halfway grown.
And when she was a little girl, we used to look at each other with my husband and go, what is she going to be like when she's 12? She was very strong-willed and very, very strong. And she turned 12 and all these kind of fights and issues that parents have with their teenagers. And one day I said to her, this, you need to stop or else. And she came towards me and said, you need to stop. And I just went back and I realized.
So you're better than me, because I would have cuffed one when I went back. You said what? But you did. You took it to heart what she said.
I was not ready to take that on and responsibility, and I went and said, don't you give me attitude. And went back and I start thinking about me, myself, and my life and everything, and all my work and people around me, kind of realized something's not right. So yes, I went and on this journey, which I didn't know where is it. Sorry.
No. So you woke up one day and you said, you know, I just took to heart what my daughter said. I've got to look at my life. I'm not happy, you know, doing hair. It's kind of blasé. There's more of a calling on my life. I have more of a responsibility. Where'd you start? Did you start with neurolinguistic programming? Did you start?
I went on one day event, which the trainer just sparked something in me. And I went, it was kind of one of those 8-day courses. I went to that and I just kind of went and connected with all these like-minded people. It was like a different world out there. It was just kind of, I've thinking to myself, how come I don't meet these people in real life? It felt like it's not a real life. It felt like it's a different world. And over there, people kind of guided me to go to do a neurolinguistic. And I had actually a client that mentioned hypnotherapy. I didn't know what hypnotherapy was at the time, really. Like, I heard of it. I know it's for smoking, for addiction, and helps with
or they make you bark like a dog or quack like a duck. People always think that hypnosis has something to do with the carnival sideshow, that it's always going to be, you know, so much fun and laughing and giggling. Hypnotherapy is dealing with the subconscious mind brain, wet noodle, just swinging around. And there is so much to learn about ourselves. I can even take myself down in self-hypnosis, which is pretty scary. But I realize when I'm in that place, what does it do for you when you work with your clients? Because you're exchanging energy, but you're also going to be help navigating their results after they come out of this trance-like state.
Well, to me, the most important thing is my client and my client getting results and them feeling comfortable with me and trusting me. That's what's important for me. And it's about them. The journey is about them getting the results.
So did you come home and hypnotize that teenager?
Well, actually, my daughter did come with me on one training. She was 16 at the time, and she actually did the training with me. And she got hypnotized at the time, at the session. She was working on her confidence, and, yeah, she had a very good experience.
Well, that's wonderful. So what are your friends saying? They're saying, you know what, girl? First, she was giving me a perm every 6 weeks and doing my roots. Now, here you are a root seeker and you are doing hypnotherapy and some NLP. What do your friends say?
Well, my friends saying, what do you do? They think it's kind of black magic. They believe it's black magic, and I say it's positive magic. It's not black magic.
Right.
And, they're kind of proud of me in a way, but in a way they kind of don't know what it is. So I don't think it was a bit of a scare for me of judgment. What are they going to think? But at the end of the day, it's my life and yeah, I've grown to love what I do and to help people.
Yeah. Cause you're going in a different direction and that's okay. Sometimes you outgrow people or you grow with them or, you know, you grow in a different direction. And so this is a spiritual awakening. This is not, you know, everybody I hope goes on that journey, but you have to go on it when you're ready. Talking about ready, what is your ideal client? Because everybody's not going to be your client. Who is the person that you're looking to draw and to work with?
Well, not everyone's my ideal client. Yes, I understand that. Being a mother and having teenage daughters, my ideal client is parents who have problems to communicate with their kids, and they have internal conflict that happens inside the household and with a lot of dynamics out there. And well, yeah, actually, I help mothers and fathers develop deep connection with their children that's avoided conflict. That's what I do. Well, and who I help.
Yeah. There's a lot of conflict in families because of past generational trauma. You know, and it's really hard to break that cycle of events that's already occurred. But people keep reliving it over and over and over again. Give me one or two tips that a person that might be experiencing flashbacks or anxiety attacks or emotional distress or anxiety from something that's happened in their life, what would you say to that person? Where do they begin?
Where do they begin? Okay. until you kind of realize and you stop blaming others, you realize it's coming within you. You're not aware, but once you realize and you ask for help, and it's okay to ask for help. Sometimes we get into this thinking that we're scared to ask for help. Fear arises. If we put our hand up, we feel weak, we feel powerless asking for help.
Do you think that it makes us feel vulnerable because we ask for help? I think that is one of the most courageous things that you could do for yourself.
It is the most courageous thing.
Is to put your hand up and say, you know what, I need help. I can't do this by myself. I don't want to do this by myself. You don't need to do this by yourself.
No.
There's a lot of people that are out there to help you, but you got to find the right one, Brains. Everybody's not for everybody. But have a conversation and at least reach out and say, hey, you know, can you help me? I have some questions. Can you answer some questions? You might be a woman that's in a domestic violence situation. There are shelters. There are places that will help you. You can't always be afraid, you know. You're more afraid of the bully that's right there with you instead of the possibilities of what is on the outside. Maybe you're a kid that's being bullied in school. I say, punch him in the nose. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't want anyone to be aggressive. But you have to stand up for yourself. You have to look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm not this person that these outside influences say I have to be. Raising teenagers is tough. You've got the influence of social media. You've got here in the United States, girl, they shooting up kids at school. They taking guns to school. I don't understand that. You got the coronavirus. You've had to homeschool. You know, you're there with your parents. And I know that you'd rather be at school, whether you like school or not, with other people. There's a lot of responsibility out there in the world. And you take this on. Do you work with young people as well? Do you work with teenagers at all?
Yes, I do.
Between 12 and like 18?
Yes, I do.
What are some of the core issues that you hear them talking about? What's surfacing for the Generation Z?
It's social and anxiety is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And anxiety, but like doing this work, like I've got a beautiful relationship with my children now, which it took a while, me working on myself and going through the process that I actually take people through this process. It was the best thing I ever did for myself because I work on myself so I can feel it. So when I feel it, I know what my clients are going through. And yeah, teenagers are kind of easier to kind of get into their unconscious mind than adults, because adults have been carrying it for over whatever 20, 30 years, 40 years, and it's hard for them to change. It's actually scary for them to change.
Of course. Where younger people find it as an opportunity, they become adventurous. They are risk takers, and we have to still continue to take risk, Brains, and we can't be in fear all the time. It's definitely going to hold us back. So let's play a round of some quick questions. I'm going to throw out some words, Elizabeth, and then you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind, okay? What brings you joy?
My children.
Outside of them kids, girl.
Outside of the kids. What gives me joy? Dancing, music.
What kind of dance do you like?
I like
merengue, salsa. What you like?
A bit of belly dancing and salsa.
No, you can do some belly dancing. Oh wow, that's good.
It's very creative. I guess you say creative, and kind of you get into.
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a fantasy, really, because I think that it is very sexy. I think it's very erotic when a woman can speak to an audience, speak to herself through her feminine energy, through her inner goddess. So bravo. Good for that. What kind of food do you like?
Food. My fruit and veg.
Do you eat fish or chicken?
I don't eat fish. I eat chicken.
Really? Okay. Well, that's good because I would eat all the fish you give me, but I, you know, and chicken, but I try to pull back on the beef. There is a lot of, you know, carnivorous eating as far as beef or lamb there in Australia. That's pretty much the staple. Most people eat beef and lamb there a lot.
Yes, beef and lamb, yes.
Yeah.
And pork.
And pork. Okay. All right. What's one of your favorite hobbies? What do you like to do for fun and recreation for yourself?
Well, at the moment, it's personal development, reading books and kind of getting the knowledge and getting rich with my knowledge of personal development. And
because we are ever evolving, we're always growing. You know, you can never know all the things that this life has to offer. So, you know, being able to find some time to read and to become more aware and master your craft, I think that that is so important. If you had three things that you just absolutely could not live without, what would they be, Elizabeth?
Live without.
Yeah. And don't tell me those kids.
No. I don't know what I can't live without.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I know. I'm so glad you didn't jump up and say your phone. So many people say they cannot live without that device.
No. If I were to write a book, it would have been a book for teenagers, parents actually. And that book would have been, you know how we used to be streetwise? It would have been phone-wise for children, like for parents to teach their kids about phone-wise.
You know, it's teaching kids responsibility. I wrote, I did a podcast and I wrote a book one time on you ain't grown until you have your own. And so many times parents want to negotiate with their children. And I get that. They want to be their friend instead of their disciplinarian. I don't get that. They want to be their financier instead of teaching them financial literacy and how to go out and get a job. They don't want to teach them about their body parts and safe sex and the dangers of the world out there. But they let them just run rampant. It's like going outside in the rain with no coat on. It's hard to be a parent. It's hard to juggle that. It's hard to be a teenager and to receive all of that. But there's got to be some law and order, because if there's no law and order, it's chaos. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree totally with you, April. I agree. And growing up, it was I was out of order because I had a parent that was letting me do whatever I want and a parent that was very strict. Mm. So it was kind of out of order. And I was never told, never educated what to do. I kind of had to learn it all the hard way and on my own. And sometimes I always feel like I'm on my own to make decisions. And with my children, I've been educating them from young age about everything, about life, about risks, about boys, And one day my dear daughter said to me, she goes, "Well, you are a naughty child because you talk to us too much."
No, but you're sharing your wisdom with them and you want to help them avoid some of the pitfalls.
Exactly. I said, I just want to warn you, because I was always like kind of, what do I do now? Do I say yes? Do I say no? I've always kind of wondered in my head because I never had the knowledge. I never had anyone tell me what to do and how to do it. I mean, I think parents, that's what they knew. That's how much they knew. But you need to, I agree, April, totally with you. You have to guide them, number one. Number two, you have to show them direction. You have to, of course, talk to them about safety. And at the end, it's their choice what they're going to do.
Well, you know, also risk and reward. And accountability and responsibility. That's what people grow up believing, that they're always the victim. This always happened to me. They're hurting me. Why me? I didn't do this, you know, and justifying dysfunctional behavior and reactions. What is something that you would tell a 25-year-old Elizabeth Potocki? What would you say to her?
That's a very good question. What do I say? I would say, take yourself on a personal development journey and work on yourself and never stop learning.
Never stop learning. What would you tell a 65-year-old Elizabeth Potocki about life? You got to think about what you would say to yourself if you were older. I mean, you know, mine would be, don't eat so much, exercise more. That's what I tell a 65-year-old person, because I'm damn near 65. I'm 59 years old. And I know that life has been so good to me. You know, but I'm from South Central LA. So I have walked the walk and talked the talk. I've seen a lot of things happen, good, bad, and indifferent. But I was always a good listener. So I encourage you young people to listen. My kids tell me all the time, you know, Mom, it's our fault if we don't do what you say. But it's not because you didn't tell us. There's a lot of parents that don't talk to their kids. So I'm so proud that you're doing that because they'll know to trust you and love you. And no matter what, they will always come to you because they know that their mother will protect them and honor them, especially young women, because they get in these situations with these men and they trick them up. Don't they, Elizabeth? Have them all confused.
That's why we're here, to help them.
Yeah. And they don't, you know, what do you say to a person that's a risk, well, not a risk taker, a person that's afraid to step out of their comfort zone and learn something new, like, you know, becoming an entrepreneur or doing like you did, shifting your career? What do you say to that person?
Believe in yourself and believe in your abilities and become who you want to be. The life is a journey. And all our opportunities are our choices.
They are. And even though you're afraid, get some consultation, work with a great person like Elizabeth that can put you in a deep sleep to awaken you to your greatest calling and your greatest potential, to walk with you, to give you some neuro-linguistic programming. That's just some suggestions to change the conversation that you're having in your head, to implant those things, to understand, to have a voice of reason and compassion, to be able to work with your children or have your children find an additional person that they can trust on this thing we call life. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for being on the edge with me. You've been a wealth of information. Your voice tone and your demeanor is just so soft and angelic. I could see just falling asleep in your chair in your office. Are you doing some virtual work as well? Are you doing some work with people online?
Yes, I do it all virtual, yes.
Okay, that's wonderful. So, Brain, she's just a point and a click away. You know, just because she's in Australia, that doesn't mean that she can't get you in a great state. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, please, Elizabeth.
Well, to get in contact with me, the best way at the moment is private message me on Messenger. Just Elizabeth Potocki, and I'm on Facebook. So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to put all of your information and the spelling of her last name, so that you can reach out, have a consultation, talk to her, let her know that you listened to this interview and that you found value here on the edge, that you're going to go and you're going to like, you're going to love, you're going to share, you're going to hug, you're going to kiss, and you're going to sign up for that YouTube channel. Because it's so important. That's how I know that you are engaged, that you're informed, and that you want more information. You want to meet great people like Elizabeth. You want to explore. You want to know what you don't know. So thank you again, Elizabeth, for being here on the edge. Please come back and see me. Keep me informed. Tell the girls that I said hi, okay?
Thank you.
Bye, Brains.
Bye. Love you. Bye.